Mayor. And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that would be very helpful to me to critical path with some milestones. Because my understanding is that we do not have the technology existing or proven to do deep offshore wind. Is that correct? No, there is...
I'd say no. Well, it's being proven as we speak.
Right, but today, if somebody walked in and said, I've got proven technology that has gone through the performance criteria, other than the one floating in the North Sea, no one has got proven technology. Hypotheses as to what that could look like. So I think it'd be very helpful to understand the most likely timeline as to how this plays out. Because I understand that even if we started today, it's 5 years before anybody would probably construct something. And to go along with that would be the provision which is under the amendment, long-term contracting, is that whole significance of the bidder has qualified tangible economic benefits of the project for the state, including regarding goods and services to be purchased. I was very pleased to have a chance to spend some time Monday morning, and what I understood was that if you just talked about offshore wind without the jobs behind it, it may not be a good investment. But if you talk about an offshore wind industry with jobs in Maine, that justifies a lot more. So at least to me, it would be very helpful to figure out the most likely, not the guarantee, but the most likely critical path with milestone events so that we could have a roadmap, so to speak, as to when we think we would actually have installed 25 megawatts, assuming we accepted the RFP, and how that plays out to get to the next stage of 500, and when the jobs start showing up in the state of Maine, so that we will all have the same expectation. I think that ties into the transmission question, because I can't believe we're going to go out and start building transmission yet, because hypothetically, we haven't got a proven technology, so there wouldn't be any justification. So, you know, I just need, without a great deal of work, the great minds to put together that type of picture. So I think it would be helpful for us to understand.
The university has that timeline. Would you like?
That's okay. I'll pass the timeline around. Would you like me to spend a couple of minutes on it? I know everybody wants to go home. But. So page 37 lays out some target dates and timelines.
That's not it.
Oh, that's different. There's also a European timeline, and I'll pass that around as well. This is it. In terms of Maine's timeline, our goal is to build our first demonstration floating turbine. It's a third-scale turbine, about 120 feet above the water, next year, and place it in the water the year after at the Monhegan site. Following that, and shaking the bugs out of it, in 2013, we would build the first 4 or 5 megawatt unit, place that in the water. You can see that in a timeline. Following that, in 2014 and 15, built our first stepping stone farm, the 25-megawatt farm. So the 25-megawatt farm would come in 2014 and 15. The next phase, the development of the large-scale 500 to 1,000-megawatt farm, we have at least one developer who's interested to do that and have that operational in 2020. In terms of jobs, the construction of the 25-megawatt farm would be between $100 to $200 million project, if we assume 50% of that is main content, that would be that would bring roughly about 750 jobs to do that, 350 a year for 2 years. Okay, and that would be a 2-year project. Once you get to the larger farms and we start building them, if we end up building, as the governor announced in the state address, 5 gigawatts by 2030, and if we assume $1 billion a year of investment between now and 2030, that would create about 15,000 jobs if we maximize the supply chain in the state of Maine. I know that's not going to happen. So if we make half the stuff in Maine, then we would be building we'd have 7,500 jobs. So that's, to answer your question, there is a timeline. There's job estimates. I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you. I think it would also help us understand the most likely as far as the jobs.
Yeah.
Now, I think all of that will be very important, particularly depending on what that cost structure looks like. Because if we're going to ask Maine ratepayers to pay, I don't know, some number more, and I think it would be much more convincing to say, and this is what we're going to get out of it, besides electricity.
Yep.
Okay, so...
And now, I answered your questions last Monday. I put that in writing to you, and it was in that document I gave you on Monday, but I do have extra copies for everyone. Too.
I might as well not have to carry them back tomorrow.
That's right, that's right.
Exactly. Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, it's 37. Yeah.
The document we're just passing around right now. Representative Fletcher asked a lot of very good questions on Monday and had an opportunity to prepare for the exam on Sunday. So Jake Ward and I worked on these answers right here.
You being a professor yourself, know that colored graphics are helpful.
It does, right? So that chart that you see in there shows the kind of jobs we're talking about, the distribution of jobs, and the number of jobs. The other piece that I'd like to point out, which is really important, is that when you ask yourself, is this going to really happen or not, there's an opportunity for us to look across the Atlantic. And not, we don't have to look into the future, it's hard, but we can look across the Atlantic. And what I passed around is a Europe plan for offshore wind. It's called Oceans of Opportunity. And it's a European plan that was put together. To put that in perspective, by 2020, Europe plans to have 40 to 50 gigawatts of offshore wind.
40 to 50.
40 to 50, yeah, by 2020. The UK, the Prime Minister Gordon Brown, announced on January 8th, awarded leases for companies to develop 25 gigawatts of offshore wind by 2020 in the UK. That would bring $70 billion of investment to the UK, I should say $120 billion, and create 70,000 jobs by 2020. It would produce a quarter of the UK's electricity by 2020. The bidders have been selected. Okay. And that's all in that report. Thank you.
You know, I'm a good front or straight man for you, because I'm asking you questions, which I think may be important. But is it also correct that the main plan, is rather than go through that coastal shallow water technology, which my understanding, that's what a lot of they're doing in Europe.
That's correct.
Okay? Our plan is to leapfrog that and get to the deep water.
Absolutely.
And the reason for that is...
Okay.
Is more cost effective?
That's correct. We believe it is. As you know, the University of Maine, working with about 40 partners, received a large grant from DOE to work, lead the country in deep water wind research. And we're pleased that we did that. And the reason we did that is we didn't want to repeat what the Europeans have done. We wanted to leapfrog ahead of them. And rather than build fixed base units in shallow waters, which take a lot of equipment to build, it's like building a boat in the middle of the ocean. That's what the Europeans are doing. And then fix it to the bottom of the ocean. We want to build boats like the Bath Ironworks does, in dry docks, float the dry docks, and tow the whole thing out and drop anchor. And that's our proposal. DOE liked that, and that's why we got funded, and we beat out 42 other competitors across the country. So, Maine has a different vision. It's a vision that the country has adopted to leapfrog ahead of Europe.
And so, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I got one piece that I'd like to leave. Yeah. The relative cost equation. Yeah. If we look at the capital cost per megawatt, yeah, of ocean shallow water and fixed, right. Right. As compared to what we're forecasting for, I call it the floating, yes, ones. That is, floating we expect to be significantly lower.
We certainly expect, if we do our job right and our research turns out to be what we think it's going to be based on our premise, that we may be able to reduce the costs versus shallow water, which is what Europe's doing. Why can we think we can do that? Because we do away with the jack-up barges and the cranes in the middle of the ocean, make them like we build boats and throw them out there and drop anchor. That's the vision that we have, yes. If we're successful, we'll do our job in engineering, we're likely to succeed and reduce the costs.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative.